This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to have back with us Chris Palmieri. Chris is the CEO and president of the Commonwealth Care Alliance, founded in Massachusetts, a fascinating care-providing organization. Its parent company is a not-for-profit, and just working to provide care and services to a lot of the underprivileged, a lot of the impoverished, and what a journey through this COVID pandemic. Chris, can you take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the Commonwealth Care Alliance?
Yeah, thanks again, Scott. So I'm Chris Palmieri. I'm the president and CEO at Commonwealth Care Alliance. We are Massachusetts-based, and we are a nonprofit, community-based, both payer as well as provider. We serve customers that have significant medical, behavioral health, and social needs, as well as chronically ill, aging seniors. We are an integrated care system, and the way that we serve people is through our model of care, which has been very effective in addressing both unmet social determinants of health as well as individuals' behavioral health and medical needs. And certainly, we believe that when we come in contact with a new consumer, that we have the opportunity to make their lives better.
And talk about what you do for people. What is the core of what Commonwealth Care does?
Sure. So we for individuals that in Massachusetts are covered by Medicaid, as well as our Medicare eligible, we provide them full health insurance, which includes coverage for their prescription drugs, all of their healthcare needs, as well as we are able to meet their social determinant needs, things that range from nutritious meals to providing them assistance with obtaining housing, transportation to healthcare appointments, safety modifications that would need to be made to make their home livable for their conditions, and a variety of other things. And of course, we are also addressing both identified as well as unmet behavioral health needs that would become a barrier for an individual to lead the most healthy and independent life.
And we're talking now at a period of time when unemployment benefits on the federal side are starting to run down. The eviction moratorium or prohibition was going to end. Now President Biden seems to want to extend it. How do some of those things play into the poverty that you see in your community and the needs that you have?
No, well, clearly all of these things do play a factor. So it's critical for an individual, for any human, frankly, to have reliable and stable housing, and that is critical for an individual to be able to even start to think about if they're going to make changes or access healthcare in any material way. Obviously, this pandemic has been incredibly difficult for individuals to access the types of healthcare services that they were accustomed to doing just over a year and a half ago. So we definitely have seen some significant shifts in patterns. We've also seen that people have been able to remain eligible for public assistance and state Medicaid benefits, which has helped keep individuals continuously enrolled through this pandemic, which is great because then they can have great access to the healthcare services that we're able to provide them.
And when you look at sort of let me ask you this question. This past year, for what you do, had to be probably the most trying and exhausting and exhilarating year of your life in terms of what you do and what you run. And obviously, that pales a good comparison to the stress on the families that you serve. But how do you keep yourself positive, optimistic, engaged when you see the sea of humanity struggling with challenges?
No, this is the third sort of crisis that I've seen in my 26-year professional career. I was involved in the post 9/11 response with an organization based in Brooklyn. I was involved in helping individuals in parts of Queens after Hurricane Sandy impacted New York City. And then certainly this is, a global pandemic and really never seen anything like this before. But, for me, in terms of advancing our organization's mission, which is to improve the health and well-being of people with significant needs. You know, our commitment through COVID was to fulfill that mission. And we, as everyone did, we had an evolving set of circumstances that we needed to deal with. And in the last conversation you and I had, we talked a lot about what we did to serve our consumers. And, you know, in retrospect now, we were able to serve 91% of our members by virtual care. And in 2020, and just a year prior, most of our model was in person, doing that same care and providing it in someone's home setting. We touched over 40,000 people, 1.5 million times during the pandemic. And again, this is to advance what we need to do. These are folks that we are their safety net. So we didn't have the opportunity to sort of pull back.
And Chris, here's a question for you. What does that look like today? Are the needs, I mean, I talked to you in the heart of the pandemic. Obviously, we're seeing some resurgence. But what does that look like today? What do the needs look like today? Are they as acute as they were then? Are they less acute? What are you seeing? Are you serving less people, more, et cetera?
Well, we certainly are able to do more things in consumers' homes now. We have our workforce is vaccinated. We still we have a good access to personal protective equipment where needed. Our members are vaccinated. So that allows us to be able to do more things back in the community and in their homes, and allow and help those individuals to get out of their homes into critical access points where they would either receive healthcare in an office-based environment or in a social setting. At the same time, we're not, as an organization, going to just regress to where we were pre-pandemic. We learned a tremendous amount about the power of virtual care, and we're able to get our members much more engaged with us than we ever have before. So we've adopted a mixture of both types of ways to care for people, and have been supplementing our in-person care with a virtual care strategy, again, to not only address clinical and medical needs, but also behavioral health needs, and loneliness and isolation, and a variety of the things that we have been challenged with all along, and are using just entirely new modalities of delivery. And that's something, you know, again, this pandemic has been horrific for everybody, but I'm excited about what healthcare is going to look like in the future, because now you have organizations like CCA and others that are delivering healthcare in the way that the consumers will adopt and use it most.
How do you manage your time between whether fundraising, staffing, leading? How does a person like you who runs the Commonwealth Care Alliance, what are your big priorities? How do you run what you do?
Well, I mean, my focus has, for my entire career, to advance a model that does put the consumer, who is the patient or the insurance member, at the center of their own universe. I have my own brother has a physical disability and some mental illness, and I always think about developing a healthcare system that will serve him. And frankly, he's being served by a company that I created 10 years ago. And I think about, how do you ultimately do that for every American that has these complexities? So number one on the forefront of my mind is, how do I scale what CCA does in Massachusetts and bring it to many more states? And that's exactly what we are now doing. We're opening in Rhode Island this October. We have three other states that are that we have our sights on, and hopefully we'll be able to make an announcement by the end of this year. So I'm constantly thinking about scale and expansion to get more consumers on our platform. That's number one. Number two is I want to continue to perfect the model for our consumers, which I not only define as the state and federal governments that pay us, but the end user of our product, the patient or the member. And how do we create an environment that gives them the easiest access, the best services for what they need, and do that in a way that meets the needs from their perspective and frankly not mine. And the other part of that customer is my employee base, and how do I make sure that the roles that we have, which can be very challenging roles, how are those roles that will fulfill an individual's desire to want to do the work that we ask them to do? And you can ask my employees, I'm obsessed with that and I want to be a great employer. I want people to be inspired every single day. And, you know, the third thing I would say is, how as an organization are we able to lean in to policymakers at the federal and state level? How are we able to help the consumers that don't qualify for our services? And I mentioned the last time we spoke that we operated 800 community-based COVID treatment beds across the state of Massachusetts for people that were not CCA customers, because they had nowhere to go to get health care other than the emergency room or an acute care bed, which was needed for a much higher level of care. We operated the state of Massachusetts's vaccination program for individuals that could not get to a mass vaccination site or their primary care provider. We did that statewide in every community in Massachusetts. That's still being offered, and you don't even need to be homebound anymore. You just call a number and someone will come and vaccinate you if you want to get vaccinated. So I think the third thing is just, again, how do we advance the needs of the communities that we serve, and frankly, the communities that I live in. So that's sort of how I divide my time, Scott.
Just magnificent. I want to thank you, Chris, as always, for joining us. What a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you for sharing more about what Commonwealth Care Alliance does, and just terrific.
Thanks again for your interest, and it's been great to talk to your listeners. Take care.